last Sunday, I observed that there were only 15 days until Christmas. I'm still no mathematician, although, believe it or not, I was a math major in college until I wasn't. I ended up graduating with a degree in Spanish, but it took me 3 semesters of calculus and 1 of linear algebra to realize and finally accept that is not how my mind works. But I was a math major for my first few semesters. But even though I'm not, didn't finish as a math major, I do know that if last week there were 15 days until Christmas, today, 1 week further down the road, there are only 8 days. Until Christmas, 8 days. Somebody, Lisa, said this to me something this morning about, I don't know if all of your decorating is done. I said, no, my decorating is not all done. So that means there's only 1 more week to get ready for Christmas. So in honor of that, we can take 1 more deep breath. As has been noted more than once already, today is the 3rd Sunday of Advent, the Sunday whose theme is joy. Joy is an emotion that seems to often be thought of as interchangeable with happiness. Perhaps sometimes joy is thought of as great happiness, but it's often thought of as something pretty much the same as happiness. If we were pressed, we might say, well, it's more like delight, or it's more like elation, or maybe deep contentment that has a little bit of a different feel. Well, as with last Sunday's theme of peace and the theme of the Sunday before that, which was, anybody remember? What was the first Sunday of Advent? Hope. First Sunday was hope. I found that as I was thinking about joy in anticipation of this sermon, I was a little bit of a split mind. As with hope and peace, I think we can all pretty easily and quickly acknowledge that there are places in the world where joy seems lacking. And not just places as in geographical places, but situations, relationships, contexts in which joy almost seems absent. Situations that are not happy, where there is no delight, where elation is far from what anyone seems to be feeling. Relationships that are marked by grief and sadness, or conflict and chaos, or loneliness and desperation. Contexts in which outrage and scarcity and fear seem to outweigh any peace or abundance or love. Surely none of us questions the reality that there are situations, there are relationships, there are contexts, as well as geographical places where joy seems scarce, if not non-existent. We're not going to write on sticky notes today, but I know we all have those places in our minds. So in the face of all of that, how do we talk about joy in this season? Because for some, likely even some of us who are here this morning, that grief, conflict, loneliness, anxiety, outrage, those things are not just a distant or hypothetical situation. For some of us, including some of our neighbors, including some of our loved ones, certainly including too many people around the world, all of that is all too real. So is joy just another idea that we get to pay lip service to during this season? There's a pretty wide cultural expectation that we will all be joyful in this season and spreading holiday cheer. After all, according to Andy Williams, there's supposed to be music on this slide. No. Well, we're just going to have to imagine in our heads. It's the most, I'm not going to sing. Yes, of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So the question is joy something that's only available when we're happy? To people who are happy, to those for whom elation seems to be overflowing and conflict is absent. To those for whom peace is present and love abounds and fear is nowhere to be seen. Or can we all experience joy? Even those of us who are in the midst of situations that are not delightful, relationships that are marked by grief or loneliness, contexts in which there is just too much conflict and anxiety and chaos and even outrage. I think it's possible. I think it's there for all of us. In fact, I think that's at least part of what this season is about. Joy in the midst of not always delightful realities. Joy in the presence of sadness, in the face of conflict, in spite of loneliness, in the thick of anxiety. Joy in the midst of the messiness and chaos and darkness of life. Joy in the middle of real life. Real, complex, full, unpredictable, chaotic life. Not picture-perfect life. Not Facebook or Instagram perfect life. Not Norman Rockwell perfect, for those who are less into Instagram and more familiar with Norman Rockwell. Not Andy Williams perfect life, but real life where darkness and light exist, where despair and hope are present, where anxiety and peace, anger and contentment, grief and joy can all be acknowledged. Real life, where there is space for all of that and more, where all of that and more is okay and allowed and maybe even honored. I want to live in that place, in that space, where there's room for a whole range of emotions. I'm not going to describe them as good and bad, which we often do. Anger is a bad emotion. Grief is a bad emotion. Joy is a good emotion. We're not going to do that. Let's instead say comfortable and uncomfortable emotions that sometimes we experience within the same day, sometimes in the same hour, sometimes in the same moment. And sometimes they come as a result of the same situation or the same relationship or the same context. I think that's part of the gift of our humanity, the capacity to experience and express this whole range of emotions. It's part of the beauty of our humanity and the burden of our humanity. And as our creator, God knows that we have that capacity. God gave us that capacity. And in Jesus, God experienced had the human experience of that capacity. So we're going to look back at today's psalm and see what the psalmist might have to say to us about all of this. It's a short one. I'm going to read the psalm again. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. So I'm sure you all heard all of the joy in those verses. Laughter, the psalmist says, laughter, shouts of joy, rejoicing, more shouts of joy. And then a third time, more shouts of joy, so much joy. Did you also hear the not joy? First, there was the situation, whatever it was, from which they were restored. In order to be restored by God, as it says in the first verse, there had to have been some situation in which restoration was needed and longed for. So there's that. Some situation in the past that was not defined by joy. There's also the current situation, which is some other one in which restoration is needed. They said, the psalmist said, restore our fortunes, O Lord. They're pleading again. like the watercourses in the Negev. And I have never looked that up before. I've read over that before. I looked that up. The Negev is a desert region where water flows only during flash floods, something we can relate to. In other words, it was then and is still now a region that is almost always dry, arid, most of the time devoid of life-giving water, like our lives might feel sometimes when they're devoid of joy and in need of restoration, like our spirits might feel sometimes when they are shriveling, withered, and thirsting for renewal, like we might feel sometimes when the reality around us and within us might be more aptly described by desolation rather than abundance. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. Restore our fortunes and flood us, we who are dry and thirsty. Flood us with your hope, your peace, your joy. Overwhelm us, God, with your presence, because we are not feeling it. And then in the next verse, we come upon those who sow in tears. And in the one following, those who go out weeping. It just seems to be part of the reality. Though there exist those who sow in tears, those who go out weeping. It's part of the scene, part of the context in which they're living. The not joy is part of life, part of real life. So what I hear in this psalm that's helpful, that I find helpful in this season of supposed delight and joy and celebration, is that it all belongs. The joy and the not joy. It's all part of life. And not just now, which can feel like it's an especially painful and messy and tragic an overwhelming season of life in this world. But all of it, the joy and the not joy, is part of being human and is part of living in this world. And it always has been. Joy and desolation, joy and despair, joy and tears, joy and weeping, joy and not joy. It's all there and it all belongs. And maybe if we can really acknowledge that and hold space for all of those experiences and those emotions without getting stuck in one or the other, without feeling obligated to only experience and express one or the other, then maybe real joy can come. Maybe deep joy will flow. Maybe true joy will come upon us and flood our spirits when they are withering, and restore our souls. May it be so. Amen.